produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
So happy you've joined us for another broadcast, another episode of Gems for the Journey, Wisdom from the Word of God. And we're your hosts, Matthew and Stephanie Garrity, and we're founders and pastors of Lehigh Valley Worship Center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. We're also founders of River of Heaven Ministries, which is a conduit, one of many conduits in the earth right now, that the Lord God Almighty is working through to bring refreshing, revival, awakening, a new life in Christ to communities, regions, cities, nations, and even the nations. Our nation and even the nations for such a time as this. Amen. Our threefold vision at River of Heaven Ministries is to restore and rebuild, equip and empower, and revive and heal. Part of that vision is what we're doing today. We're broadcasting, and the Word of God brings revival, and it brings healing to our nation and to the nations. And this broadcast reaches about 191 nations. And so we're so thankful for our friends at FMW Radio Network, Kayla Padgett, and also JRN Network as well, Sister Josie. We love you both, and we're thankful for, you know, kingdom connections and the kingdom of God working together to advance His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Well, we've been exploring this gem for the journey recently of Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit of God. And last episode, we talked about Holy Spirit. We talked about that His very name, He is Holy Spirit. He's not Magnificent Spirit. He's not Loving Spirit. He's not Great Spirit. He is Holy Spirit. And we looked at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, as the prophet Isaiah had a absolutely amazing vision of the throne room of God. And he noticed that the Lord was being sung about in the throne room by angelic hosts swirling about the throne. And they were singing one thing over and over again. Holy, holy, holy. And then we saw in Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, in a different time period, the apostle John, when he was banished in the island of Patmos, he had a vision. And he saw the same thing. He saw the throne room, but this time he saw creatures. There were four living creatures, full of eyes, around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying what? Saying, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And so we looked at, above all else, God wanted his followers, those who would read the Bible, the prophet Isaiah, the apostle John, and everyone who would come after as believers. He wanted his followers, he wanted his family to understand that above all, he is holy, holy, holy. So much so that his very spirit is the Holy Spirit. We talked about last time how Jesus, he said that if after he was raised from the dead, that if he didn't go back and ascend to the Father, that he couldn't send the Comforter. He couldn't send Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Godhead. And it says in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." And so Jesus was telling the disciples, he was telling his followers that, look, the world can't see him, they can't discern him, but he, the Holy Spirit, lives, or he dwells with you, but then he will be in you. And of course, Jesus was prophesying, he was speaking about the fulfillment. It was fulfilled in Acts chapter 1 and 2, when Holy Spirit came as a mighty rushing wind into the upper room at Pentecost, and everyone, the 120, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with tongues, and there was tongues of fire upon each of them. And they came out declaring the wonders of God. So we see, as in the believers in the New Testament, we understand that that promise, if we've believed in Christ, if we've received him, we've received his Spirit. We receive Holy Spirit. And so we talked about also how Holy Spirit is known as the sevenfold Spirit of God, or the seven spirits of God. What is the seven spirits of God? What does it mean when it says the sevenfold Spirit of God? So we find that in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, we know that this is Jesus who is being prophesied about by the prophet Isaiah. Messiah is going to come. And specifically, there's going to be seven specific natures or dimensions or functions, if you will, of the Spirit of God, of Holy Spirit, that is going to be seen upon him, that's going to rest on him. And we know that when Jesus came up out of the waters of baptism to fulfill all righteousness, the Bible says, that Holy Spirit came and descended upon him like a dove. Jesus, he is the second person of the Godhead, but he functioned and flowed and was anointed by Holy Spirit. And so in Isaiah 11:2, it says this: "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him," being Jesus, "the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Now, did you catch that? That was all seven. One, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. Two and three, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Four and five, the Spirit of counsel and might. And six and seven, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Isaiah was prophesying specifically about seven natures or seven dimensions or seven characteristics of the Spirit of God that Jesus was going to walk in. And he wanted to give us this knowledge for us to understand that although the Holy Spirit is infinite, seven are specifically called out. The first one is the Spirit of the Lord. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Hebrew word Yehovah, or the self-existent one, the eternal one. Understanding the Spirit of the Lord is paramount to understanding the other six dimensions of His Spirit as outlined by Scriptures. All aspects of God's Spirit stems from the understanding of His Lordship. Many are comfortable with Jesus as Savior, but they're very much less comfortable with Him as Lord. Because Lord means what? He's completely in charge. We give up our rights. It's not our will anymore, but it's His will. And we no longer live to please ourselves because we love Him so much. We have laid down our dreams, goals, desires in favor of His. The very title, Spirit of the Lord, has an understanding of being completely under God's authority. Our lives, in fact, are governed by the Spirit. And as we learn to yield to His Lordship, we begin to understand that we are anointed for and joyfully are co-laborers in His mission. So you may ask, what was the mission of Jesus Christ? The mission of Christ is first found in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So we see, what was the commission of God? What was the commission of Jesus? These things. Number one, to preach the good news to the poor. Number two, to heal the brokenhearted. Number three, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Number four, to proclaim opening of the prison doors to those in bondage. Number five, to proclaim the Lord's favor. Number six, to proclaim the Lord's vengeance. Number seven, to comfort all who mourn. Number eight, to console those who mourn in Zion. Number nine, to give those in Zion beauty for ashes. Number 10, to give those in Zion the oil of joy for mourning. And number 11, to give those in Zion a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We are anointed to do these things also as the brethren of Christ, as the ones who are joint heirs with Him and also are sons and daughters of Father God, who we cry out, Abba Father, because of Holy Spirit who lives in us. We must understand that everything functions from the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is Savior and He is Lord. And as Lord, we humble ourselves under Him as our Master and say, Oh Lord Jesus, what can we do to co-labor with You? And the answer is this. This is what He says. The answer is this. You know what you can do? You can do what it says I was prophesied that I would do when I came in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. You want to work as a son and daughter of God? Preach the good news to the poor. Heal the brokenhearted. Proclaim liberty to the captives. Proclaim opening of the prison doors to those in bondage. Proclaim the Lord's favor. Proclaim the Lord's vengeance. Comfort all who mourn. Console those who mourn in Zion. Give those in Zion beauty for ashes. Give those in Zion the oil of joy for mourning. Give those in Zion a garment of praise, the spirit of heaviness. Notice that some of these specifically say Zion, which speaks of the people of God. It speaks of God's remnant in Israel, but it also speaks of the wild olive branch, if you will, that's been grafted in. Who are the Gentiles? Who is the church? Zion are the people of God. Zion are those who've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. The New Testament refers to those called out of darkness into the marvelous light as the church or the ecclesia. And so let me ask you a question. Are you even walking in the Spirit of the Lord? Because when Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, this is what comes out of the Spirit of the Lord. If you're walking in the Spirit of the Lord, you've said, Lord, I don't want anything of myself. Matter of fact, I live to serve you. When you're walking in the conviction and under the leading and guidance of the Spirit of the Lord, just one of the seven aspects of God's Spirit, you want to yield to God. You want to do whatever he wants you to do. And not out of, because I follow the Ten Commandments, because I follow all these written regulations like the Old Testament. Absolutely not. Why? Because you love the Lord. Because you love the Lord as a bride loves her groom. Because the church is the bride of Christ, and he is the bridegroom. Hallelujah. So because we love the Lord, we joyfully co-labor with him in his mission. And the culmination of that is the Great Commission, where he told the church to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you make disciples of all nations? You teach them to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. You preach to them the gospel. You do what Christ taught us to do. And as you do that, people receive salvation, and then people start to take the yoke of the Lord upon themselves and learn from him. For he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Therefore, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. The Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything flows out of the understanding of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, we're told in Scripture that the spirit of the Antichrist comes, and the way we recognize the spirit of the Antichrist is that one of the ways is that they deny that Jesus is Lord. They deny, people claim even to be Christians, but the Bible says they're Antichrist because they deny that Jesus came with a man in the flesh, and they also deny that he is Lord, that he is also God, that he is the second person of the Godhead. Antichrist doesn't mean against Christ, but it means in the place of Christ. So people who are coming and teaching another Jesus are try to portray something in the place of the real Jesus Christ, and in doing so, they're against Christ. Antichrist. But we know that Christ, Jesus Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, Mashiach, Yeshua Mashiach, as the Hebrew says, that he is the true Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and taught us how to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. And then we move on from there. So what were the other spirits, or the other fold of the spirits that were resting upon Christ? The spirit of wisdom is the second one. The word wisdom, the phrase the spirit of wisdom, is the Hebrew word Chokmah, which means skillful. When we function in the spirit of wisdom, it's divine enablement of skillfulness from heaven. There are tasks that we can never accomplish, but by the wisdom of God, we have supernatural skill to not only execute kingdom endeavors, but supernaturally thrive in executing them. Exodus chapter 28, verse 3. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. You see that even in order to make Aaron's garments, those who were making Aaron's garments and those who were artisans and constructing even the temple needed to be filled with the spirit of wisdom and function in the skill to be able to make the garments according to the pattern of heaven. There's things that we can't do without the spirit of wisdom functioning in our life. naturally, we think we want to do something, or we might desire to do something. We might even feel like God told us to do something. But we must have the spirit of wisdom to be skillful in a supernatural way to accomplish that which God's called us to do. Again, in Exodus chapter 31, verse 6, it says this, "And I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Asamach of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans that they may make all that I've commanded you." The spirit of wisdom causes us to be supernaturally gifted in our talent and even our trade. It also causes us to be sought out to do great exploits. God told Moses to only speak to the gifted artisans. They were gifted because God filled them with the spirit of wisdom. Today, there are many gifted kingdom creative people all over the world who are commissioned to create and build for the Lord. They flow in the spirit of wisdom. They walk in the spirit of wisdom. You know, another thing that's interesting about the spirit of wisdom is the way it comes about. So what is some way that we can really walk in the spirit of wisdom, or have that come upon our life, or learn to really delve into what this is all about? Well, Moses gave us a clear indication in Deuteronomy 34:9, when God told Moses, you're to appoint Joshua, you're to anoint him, and the spirit of wisdom that's upon you is going to be upon him. So a way that we gain skillfulness, a way that we gain supernatural ability from the Lord to do things, is by serving those and honoring those in authority. Joshua served Moses, he honored him, he loved him, he learned from him, and he submitted to his authority. As a result, the Lord allowed Joshua to be full of the spirit of wisdom and receive delegated authority. Deuteronomy 34:9. "Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, so the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses." There was a supernatural skill of leadership that came upon Joshua because he honored the authority of Moses in his life. Again, in Numbers chapter 27:18, "And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the spirit," and that word is the spirit of wisdom, chokmah, "and lay your hand on him, set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give him some of your authority, that all the congregation of the children of Israel might be obedient." Again, same indication. The people recognized Joshua's authority because it was a supernatural delegated authority that came from Moses, but really who it came from was God himself, because God is the one who created authority, and he's the only one who could give it, and he's the only one who can pull it away. And then so we look in the New Testament, in the Apostle Paul's epistle to the church in Ephesus, Paul lets the Ephesians know that he is praying for them concerning the issues they were dealing with. The Greek word used here is likened to the Hebrew word chokmah. Paul's prayer was specific. He prayed that the Ephesian church would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, which is also the spirit of understanding, from the Lord, so they would be enlightened and encouraged, realizing their identities in Christ and the fullness of their inheritance, which they had not even begun to fathom. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you now the spirit of wisdom and revelation," or the spirit of wisdom and understanding, "in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Hallelujah. We see just two aspects here of the sevenfold spirit of God. And then we'll get to one more today, and then we'll look at this again next episode. But so that's the spirit of the Lord was upon him, the spirit of wisdom, which we just talked about, and now the spirit of understanding. The spirit of understanding in Hebrew is the word binyah. It means to understand perfectly. But looking at the Hebrew root word actually provides even more clarity of the word. The Hebrew root word here is the word bayin, to know, perceive, inform, teach, or instruct. This is a divine enablement from heaven. when you function in this spirit of understanding, in which God grants a supernatural ability to know, to perceive, to inform, to instruct, and to even teach how something is to be done. Exodus chapter 36, verse 1. And Bezalel and Oholiab, and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding, or revelation, to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. See, the spirit of wisdom brings about the supernatural skill or giftedness to accomplish a task or set of tasks. It's the skill. But understanding brings the know-how to teach and instruct others. So wisdom is the skill to do it, but understanding is the know-how. Understanding a revelation of how to teach and instruct others how to do so. I could tell you right now, hey, I can teach you to play the piano, or I could teach you to play the guitar. And I can, because I'm a musician, I'm a psalmist, I'm a worship leader, former worship leader, we're pastors now. But unless I can instruct you and demonstrate to you, and I have understanding to teach you how to do it, I could play skillfully all day long in front of you, and you would never learn how to function in any of that if I did not have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, or wisdom and revelation together operating in my life. When you have the spirit of wisdom, you've got the skill supernaturally to do something. Understanding is the revelation. It's the instruction. It's how to function in that skill. When we are filled with understanding and wisdom, even those who rule in places of authority who do not serve God nor fear Him will take notice and will reward us by delegating authority to us. Even wicked leaders desire to have people with proven track record of wisdom and understanding to rely upon. They often use such individuals to maintain oversight over their leadership and advisory teams. God allowed the prophet Daniel to walk in the spirit of wisdom and understanding. He was skillful, discerning, and was used to bring instruction to King Nebuchadnezzar and his son regarding dreams and visions. We find that in Daniel chapter 5, verse 11. It says this, "There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers." When we walk in the spirit of understanding, we are supernaturally discerning. We supernaturally perceive and understand the times by the Spirit's leading. God gave Joseph dreams also, and supernatural understanding regarding those dreams. Through the spirit of understanding, Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams and knew how to instruct him regarding them. Understanding also, or revelation, also inspires a course of action concerning what was revealed. The Lord caused Joseph to possess more wisdom and understanding more than all of Pharaoh's advisors and magicians, more than all the counterfeits. Action was taken as a result of God's understanding flowing through Joseph, which prepared Egypt for the great famine. And we find that in Genesis 41:39, when Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since your God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning or understanding or revelatory and clear-headed and as wise as you are." And so we thank you, Lord, for your word today. You know, I want to give you an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know the one on whom the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might, and knowledge, and the fear of the Lord, not only rested upon, but empowered, you need to know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. And you need to understand how to get the free gift that He offers, which is salvation. And in order to do that, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you shall be saved. You repent. You acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you can't save yourself. You realize that Jesus Christ paid your sin debt in full. You turn and you put your faith believe in Jesus and you speak out of your mouth, Jesus, you are Lord and Savior. I believe that you came, and you died. I believe that you paid my sin debt in full. I believe that while I was still a sinner, you died for me. And Lord Jesus, you are my Savior and you are my Lord. Hallelujah. Friends, if you prayed that prayer today, make sure you get yourself into a church that teaches the full counsel of the Word of God. Next week, we'll deal with the spirit of counsel and might and knowledge and the fear of the Lord.
You can connect with us by going to our website, www.riveroftheaven.org, and clicking on the Contact Us tab. At this website, you can also support us by becoming a prayer partner with us as well, and also becoming a financial partner. Matthew has also recently published his first book, Holy Spirit, the Sevenfold Spirit of God. You can find more information on how to purchase this book on our website. The book is also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple iBooks, and wherever other books are sold.
We just want to say thank you again for listening to this broadcast. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May He be gracious unto you, and may He give you His peace. Until next time.
Sing holy. Sing holy.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good evening, precious saints. This is Pearline again from God's Precious Pearls Ministry. I pray everyone continues to do well at this time as we remain in the secret place of the Most High. What a safer place to be. And, you know, we're experiencing so many changes throughout the land, everywhere, the four corners of the earth. There's so many changes all around us. So this is time like never before to draw closer and closer to the Lord and abide in His Word. I just want to say a special thanks at this time to the Lord for CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Network USA World, Miss Kayla Padgett, also Joseph from Josie Inspirational Radio Network USA World. Thanks also to our sponsors, UN Moving and Storage, for sponsoring this program. Thanks for giving us this opportunity to be light bearers during these dark and troubled times. Let's pause to pray for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I give you thanks and praise and glory and honor for who you are. You are the Almighty God. Father, there is no God like you, no God but you. And I give you thanks and praises, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the mighty and precious and powerful name of Jesus. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us all things. Now, Father, I thank you for what you have imparted to me today to share to your saints throughout Radioland. And I pray, Father, I'm asking you, Lord, to prepare their hearts to receive your word. And I pray, Father, that this will be life-changing for all of us. Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable unto you as I yield myself to you, my Lord and my Redeemer. Thank you so much. Thank you. I just want to remind you of the fruits of the Spirit. We've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And there, you know, there are nine fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23 tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, we have talked before about the growth process of the seed, and we have spoken also about the previous fruits, and that is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and now we'll be talking about faithfulness. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that these fruits can be active and activated in our lives. So I pray that as we listen, not just you, but I too will be changed as I apply these words to my heart. They're so sweet and foundational. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Today, as I said, we're talking about faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is to be full of faith and assurance in whatever we do and actively carry out what has been entrusted to us. A true commitment to duty, a vow, a covenant, or a pledge. Trustworthiness, loyalty, reliability, sincerity, and steadfastness. God is faithful even when we are unfaithful. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. When we sin against God, he waits patiently for us to repent, so he can forgive and restore us back to himself. This is the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, Jesus remains our faithful high priest, who is seated on the right hand of God the Father, forever making intercession for us. And we give him thanks for that. Hebrews 2:17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Oh, what a blessedness, eh? So awesome, just wonderful, so comforting to know that. As difficult and as painful as it was, Jesus remained faithful to his promise to God to face the cross to provide salvation for us and that we may have a restored relationship with the Father and experience a new birth through him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us and that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God promises to watch over his word to bring them to pass. We observe his word spoken in the Old Testament being fulfilled in the New Testament. He gives us his word for every situation in our lives. And if we remain faithful to trust them, we can and we will see them being activated because he who is faithful is the word and he watches over his word to bring them to pass. He is not like man that he should lie. He is faithful to his word. You know, he's not like man, where everything is conditional with man, but with God, his love and his faithfulness is unconditional. All he wants us to do is to be faithful, to be hungry for him, to thirst after him, you know, to cry out to him and to trust him. And he will, whether or not we do that anyway, he's God. He's always faithful. He's always faithful to bring us to himself and teach us and show us the right way. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. All is required of us, that is required of us, is to trust his word and to go to him in faith, believing in the power of his word. It is a wonderful and comforting thing to know that the God we serve is forever faithful. Unfortunately, as I said before, it's not so with man. If you do not fit in, you know, if you're not fitting into their program or their expectations or what have you, or their little group or whatever, you know, there's no faithfulness extended to you. You're just like an outcast, really. But not so with God. He meets us just where we are. So it is a blessed assurance knowing that with confidence, we serve a mighty God we serve, who is always watching over us. He's always faithful concerning anything, you know, about us, really. He watches over everything that we do. He sees our heart's desire and is faithful to bring them to pass. Even when we fail or when we fall, he's there to pick us up, restore us, and keep us going again. When we pray, he's faithful to hear and answer us. Psalm 86:15 says, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. I just want to read these scriptures here because I think they're so relevant. Psalm 36:5 says, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heaven, your faithfulness to the clouds. How vast is this? Isn't it amazing? How amazing. You think of the distance between here and the heavens and the clouds. And that's how vast, that's how great our Father's faithfulness is and his love is. Psalm 89:8 says, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are? O Lord, with your faithfulness all around us is his faithfulness. Anywhere we turn, we will find faithfulness from him. No matter where we go, no matter where we roam, he's always faithfulness. His faithfulness goes with us, goes before us, and always behind us. So we can trust that. Psalm 119:90 says, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. We observe his word spoken, as I said, in the Old Testament. I mentioned that being fulfilled in the New Testament. Let us strive to mature to faithfulness. How do we do this? Let's look at the story of the talent, the parable of the talents, the servants with the talents, in Matthew chapter 25. This is found. We see here the servant, the master, the Lord, was going away on a far journey, and he decided to leave his talents to his servants to take care of it. To one servant, he gave 5 talents, and this servant increased it by another 5. The one with 2 talents increased it by 2. The one with only 1 talent hid it and did absolutely nothing about it. The servants who increased on the 2 and 5 talents were richly rewarded. They were made ruler over many things because they were faithful over a few things. The servant with the 1 talent was rebuked and gained nothing. He hid the 1 talent and did nothing about it, nothing to multiply it. Just as he saw his master, that's how he saw himself. He told his master he was a hard man and he gathered where he had not sown. So you see, his intention was not to multiply or do anything with that 1 talent that his master had given him to take care of. The master in turn told him he was wicked and slothful. That was, he's just been lazy. The master rewarded the servants with the 5 and 2 talents. And this is what he said to them. It said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You see, this speaks for itself here. When we are productive, when we are faithful in the little things that the Lord has given to us, it gives us joy. You know, I don't know about you, but for me, when I faithfully complete my chores and my tasks and what have you that's been entrusted to me for the day, I have a joy at the end of the day. But if my chores have not been completed, I don't have that joy. I'm sure you all feel the same way. You know, it gives you so much joy. You feel you have not been slothful. You feel that you have made use. You've been faithful. We've been faithful over her time or time management, not to be slothful during the course of today, but to be productive. So at the end of the day, we have joy and we have rest and peace in our souls. But if not, if you're like me, I feel miserable at the end of the day. You know, I remember so well in high school, my physics teacher always encouraged us to work diligently and to be faithful in all that we do in order to succeed. He was a very encouraging teacher. He a perfectionist, really. Many of my Clarendon College alumni who are listening today will remember Mr. Gunter's quotation from Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And I quote, "The heights of great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night." You see, when we want to be faithful in whatever has been entrusted to us, and I should say unquote here, and let me read it again because I always love this quotation. Again from Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. "The heights of great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night." You see, there's no time for slothfulness. We're always diligently trying to be productive. So even, as it says here, they were toiling in the night. We too must be faithful over the little things God has entrusted to us before he can trust us with greater things. You know, he said we are to come to him like little babes, and like little babes, he gives us a little to do. He does not give us a great task to do. And then as we are faithful to complete that little task, he promotes us. He gives us more and more and more, and we learn as we go forward. Luke 16 verse 10 says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." That speaks for itself. God cannot trust us if we're not faithful in the little things he has entrusted to us. It is very important, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to strive to perfect the fruits of the Spirit within us, because they are so foundational. It is by our fruits that we will be known. It is not by how much we know or how well we are known. You see, the fruits of the Holy Spirit really, really, truly speaks through us without introduction. True faithfulness is accompanied with love, long-suffering, and the fear of the Lord. A faithful person will and can always be entrusted to handle his or her responsibilities wisely, faithfully, joyfully, and to the best of his ability, with a goal of being fruitful. When given a task, he will complete it with perfection as his goal. He deals honestly in the affairs of life. When he sees something that needs to be done, he or she goes beyond the norm to get it done, even while denying oneself. It is here the Lord can then say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." What joy, what peace and content that is. Outward demonstration does not prove one's faithfulness. Not always. Sometimes it does, but not always. Faithfulness can be felt or discerned. Versus work. You know, faithfulness actually, it comes under the operation of God's grace within us. It's not legalistic. It comes with a joyful approach. And it should also come in a normal way as well. You know, I don't know if this really applies here, but the blessings of the Lord had no sorrow to it. So this is a blessing of the Lord, and there's no sorrow, you know, as we try, as we strive to allow the Holy Spirit, to the fruits of the Spirit to work in us. You know, so to be faithful actually comes naturally if it's really a part of us. It comes with confidence and a blessed assurance in its demonstration, whether by the person who is demonstrating faithfulness or the recipient of faithfulness. Like the sheep being led by the shepherd to a quiet, still, and peaceful waters, the sheep is confident of the loving care of the faithful shepherd. God wants us to experience this every day in our lives, no matter what is going on around us. Everything can be falling apart around us. But in the midst of all, God gives us joy and peace, which passes all human understanding, a reward of our faithfulness and obedience. The outcome of being unfaithful, we see this here again in Matthew 25:14-29. The unfaithful servant was slothful. He was lazy. Many times they also have a spirit of entitlement. They feel so entitled, you know. They often feel that they do not have to try, but they often blame others for their lack. It wasn't their fault. It was somebody else's fault. They lack wisdom and discernment. They often feel entitled, as I said. They operate in jealousy. They're insecure, always afraid to advance or step out in faith, disobedient to God's command, slothful, unproductive, and unfaithful. The rewards of faithfulness. We see here in the scripture from Proverbs 31:28, where the children of her mother rise up and calls her blessed. Why do they do that? They saw her as being a faithful, loving mother, faithful mother who's denied her rest, denied her sleep to the benefit of her little ones. Always reaching out, always being kind, always serving her children. And with that, the reward is her children will rise and call her blessed. Scripture here tells us in Psalm 31:33, "Oh, love the Lord, all his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful." So what's the outcome here? The Lord preserves us. No matter what our state may be, he preserves us. In sickness, in sorrow, or joy, whatever it is, we will be rewarded for our faithfulness as the Lord preserves us. The Lord will make us ruler over many things. As he said to the servant, Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. And here the apostle is saying, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You see, God saw him as being a faithful servant, and therefore he was rewarded by being placed into the ministry. And that is the care of others spiritually. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. This is from Revelation 2:10. You see, as we remain faithful, the outcome is a crown of life. How precious and rewarding is this? You know, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we all can be faithful. It is such a joy and delight to be found faithful. Even when we don't know how to accomplish the task that we have to accomplish that has been entrusted to us, whether by God or by man, the Holy Spirit will show us, he will teach us as we reach out and seek his help. Many times, you know, I'm sure you all do, you're faced with tasks, things to do, and you just don't know how to start. You just don't know how to go about it. But it's been entrusted to us. So we trust the Lord to show us. We trust him to teach us. He knows it. And we believe his word. So as we trust his word and we look to him, he is faithful. He will be faithful enough to show us the way, to lead us, to guide us, and to instruct us. I pray this has blessed you today. This is just briefly looking at faithfulness. We just don't have enough time to cover everything. But I pray that this has blessed and encouraged you today. And let us be faithful to one another, especially in a time like this. We all need each other, even now. Many of us, we've all been isolated from everything, literally. Things are sort of easing up a little bit more. But we all need each other at a time like this, when many of us, as I said, have been so isolated. I spoke with a friend today and she said they're out on a road trip because they just need something for their mental health. We all need that. So let's be faithful. As I even said on previous recordings, let's be faithful to be the Lord's hands extended extended even at a time like this. You know, the Lord is looking for that. Remember, he said, I was sick and you visited with me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. And said, Lord, when did we do this? And the Lord said, the least you did to one of these, you do it unto me. So as we do these things, we're doing it unto the Lord. So in a time like this, let's be faithful to reach out to our loved ones, reach out to our friends, reach out to our neighbors, and share God's love. And as I said before, check on each other, see how we're doing. Let's be faithful to do that, not to allow people to be isolated all by themselves. But let's be God. Let's be faithful to be God's extended, hands extended, reaching out to each other in love. May the Lord continue to bless you all, to keep you during this time. May his wisdom and his strength and his peace be imparted to you even now during this time. And I speak God's love and blessing over all who are listening today. May the Lord bless you. If you would like to get in touch with God's Precious Pearls, you may email me at gppearls@ptd.net, or you may go to my Facebook site, God's Precious Pearls. There you will find me also. May the Lord bless you always. Thank you. Until next time, we will continue with the fruit of gentleness. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.